Hello, everyone. I'm Brian Zimmerman, AVP of Client Content Strategy with Becker's Healthcare. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Carlene Kerfoot, Chief Nursing Officer at Simpler. Dr. Kerfoot, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. Before we dive into our conversation, can you just give listeners a brief introduction of yourself and Simpler, of course?
Sure. I'm Carlene Kerfoot. I'm the Chief Nursing Officer of Simpler. And previous to Simpler, I have worked as a chief nursing officer, patient care officer for a variety of large systems within the United States. And now with Simpler, we are a company that is dedicated to make things simpler for people who are out there working on the front lines. Our intention is to make sure that we have the kind of connections between the different kinds of methodologies and different kind of companies that people need, so that when you're working with staffing, you have easy access to quality data, productivity data, and so on like that, because we're connecting all those disparate parts. So that's what Simpler is all about, making things on the front line simpler for people so they don't feel as hassled with technology and they can feel that they can get their job done. So that's who we are.
Appreciate you sharing that. And of course, now among the toll that the pandemic has really taken on the nursing staff and just the administrative burden folks are facing, workforce shortages, the nurses and clinicians that remain are shouldering even more than they were before. So I think the mission of making things simpler for nurses is an important one. Can we dig deeper into what specifically Simpler does to do that, to achieve that goal of making the life of nurses, nurse managers, nurse leaders easier day in, day out?
Right. Well, let's talk about workforce management first. And remember that one of the main reasons that people leave is because of staffing and because of technology. And also, nurses really like to have connections at work. They like to have people that they can rely on. And they go into nursing because they want to do patient care. They want to take care of patients. They don't go into nursing to nurse a computer or to be on the phone all day long trying to find something because it doesn't show up. That's not what they wanted nursing for. So at Simpler, what we do is we have several workforce solutions that are extremely well-ranked nationally. We only do healthcare. So in healthcare, we have much more complicated staffing situations than what you do if you do staffing for Nordstrom's or for an oil company, because people in hospitals work 24 hours a day. The acuity of the patient changes on a daily basis, hourly basis, sometimes even minute to minute. So it's a very complicated situation. And if you don't have the kind of software to be able to achieve all those variances, all those varieties of things in an instant, then people have to do workarounds. The patient doesn't get the right nurse. The nurse doesn't get the right patient. It just becomes a mess. So what we do is make sure that, first of all, we look at what the patient needs. And then second of all, we, with our acuity systems, then second of all, we say, how many nurses do we need to take care of that patient? But then the next thing we look at is what kind of nurse do we need? Because obviously you don't want a brand new nurse to take care of a patient who has 5 or 6 or 7 diagnoses and a complicated family to boot. So we hopefully can find somebody who can take care of more complicated cases and then save the people who are, for example, agency nurses or brand new grads or something for some of the simpler ones. So when you do that kind of stuff, then half the struggle comes out and a lot of people say, oh, I like working here. And another thing, if you look at technology, a lot of what a nurse does is they're on the phone calling and they're saying, where's the doctor and what about this and what about that and da 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 da. So with our communication systems, what we do is we have one-stop shopping for that. So you don't have to page, you don't have to call, you don't have to do this. Instead, you can go through one communication system to connect with the physician, to connect with other nurses, to connect with whoever you want. So that takes a lot of time out of and a lot of hassle out of it. So also in terms of staffing, if you can get online and choose where you want to work, when you want to work, that takes a lot of the bad things out of staffing because you can choose, you can do self-scheduling, and then you can trade on your phone. You can do lots of things like that right on your phone. So the more we can have that kind of technology that makes it easier for nurses to staff and schedule themselves, trade shifts, turn around a bunch of stuff like that, and communicate. And then also, if we have a system that, first of all, recruits nurses, and a system that really understands healthcare, recruits nurses, can onboard them very quickly, get them in very fast, be able to onboard them with the right amount of information at the right time, follow them through that system with performance management and so on, to have all this work together, then what you have is a much simpler workforce management system. Then on top of the workforce management system, if you can go over to another side of what happens in healthcare, if the nurse manager wants to know about quality, you know, what about the staffing and what about the quality outcomes? Usually you have to go out of one system into another, but if we've got all those systems together and the nurse manager can access them easily, then he or she can get information about what the outcomes that they're doing in a very fast, easy way of doing things. So our goal is to make sure that all the things that people need are there, and then you can easily access them without having to go through all kinds of hoops. Now, this is not rocket science. We've done this with electronic health record. Because in electronic health record, the patient's record is there, and that follows the patient, whether they go to the OR or the ER or the OR or whatever it happens to be, because you can look at what the patient's record is. So if we think about that, in the rest of healthcare, it's very siloed. So in order to make it simpler, then we have to look at what does that nurse need to be able to staff and schedule seamlessly and effortlessly? What does that nurse need to be able to get online and choose her shifts and do whatever she has to do in terms of trading? How can we do all that to make it simpler? And because we only do healthcare, we have a software system that looks at what you need in healthcare that's much more healthcare oriented than a system that's designed for any old industry that's out there. That help?
Absolutely. Really appreciate you getting into that detail for our listeners, Dr. Kerfoot. Mm-hmm. I want to ask now, can you share a bit about Simpler's partnerships with the DAISY Foundation and AONL Beyond Gratitude? Why are these partnerships important to Simpler, and why are they meaningful to the work you're trying to do to support nurses?
Well, I think they're very meaningful because people now don't want to work just for a company. They want to work for a company that has a soul and a company that has a mission. So people are asking, okay, what kinds of things do you do other than just make money or just do these things? And I think people want to be able to be part of a bigger picture, a bigger opportunity. So it's Simpler. We have a very interesting CEO. BJ has really, really pushed the envelope in terms of mission-driven company. And so when he came on board about a year and a half ago, he looked around and he was very impressed with the DAISY Foundation. And he was very impressed about what the opportunity for providing meaningful recognition to nurses and also gratitude to nurses, and what it does to the person who offers them gratitude. He was very impressed that this is an incredible phenomenon. So he watched one of the DAISY celebrations where you celebrate a person who's given a DAISY award, and he was blown away at what nurses do and how much they accomplish. So he said, you know, many of these things happened before the pandemic. The pandemic has just made it worse. So he's published several times, and he said things like, we have a moral obligation to make sure that we make things better for these people than what it was before. So with the moral obligation, that means that we recognize nurses, we support them in terms of meaningful recognition, and we celebrate the fact that they are out there doing incredible things. But if you give a nurse an award, usually what they say is, oh, I'm just doing my job. Well, guess what? It's much more important than just doing their job, and they do more than just doing their job. So we've been a supporter of DAISY for a long time, but BJ really came along and said, oh, my gosh, this is really important. So then if you look at the data, the Jocelyn Marketing Company did some studies with AONL, American Organization of Nurse Leaders. And they discovered that, oh my goodness, nurse managers are not acknowledged. They know that they're not acknowledged. They know that it's a terrible job in terms of the hours that they have to put in and the stress that they have to work under, and they don't get acknowledged for that. So, for example, if one of your nurses gets a Daisy Award, a nurse manager would not jump up and say, "Oh, he or she got it because of me. I worked with that person for 5 years, and look at where they're at now." They just don't say that. So the nurse managers are the unheralded people in the healthcare system. Like when you play Legos, you know, that little block there, they're the ones that keep it all together. And if you pull that block out, then everything just falls apart, but nobody acknowledges them. So with the research that the Jocelyn Marketing Company did, we started to work with AONL. And what we wanted to do is make sure that more nurse managers got the Daisy Award. So at this point in time, there's like 5,000 hospitals that have the Daisy Award. When we first started this, only 400 of those hospitals ever gave a nurse manager award or a CNO award. They never gave a leadership award at all. So we made the point with this project that we're doing with AONL that nurse managers need recognition. Nurse managers are the keystone of the whole healthcare organization. And yes, we should provide meaningful recognition to them in greater numbers than what we have been doing. So the good news is, the numbers of nurse managers who are getting awards in the last 3, 4, 5 months has doubled from what it was. So we're getting the word around that not only is Daisy wonderful for nurses, but it's really wonderful for nurse managers, anybody in a leadership position in healthcare. So consequently, we're seeing a lot of nurse managers and leaders and even CNOs say, "Oh my gosh, I feel so gratified and I feel so humbled that people recognize what it is that I'm doing." And when you go to a Daisy celebration, you can't help but get teary, because you'll have a nurse talking about a nurse manager that went way, way, way beyond what anybody would expect them to do, but they're just doing their job. Or you would find a nurse that's doing incredible things that the nurse would say, "I'm just doing my job," but they're not. They're making a significant difference in the lives of those people. So the good news is, with the Daisy Foundation and with Simpler and AONL, we've been able to make a difference in terms of getting more nurse managers, nurse leaders recognized, and to also support the Daisy program for staff nurses. We have a big breakfast at Magnet every year, and we have interesting stories of people who tell their stories there at the breakfast. And it's a huge opportunity for us to be able to thank nurses directly for what it is that they're doing to make such a difference in people's lives. And the Daisy Foundation was started by Bonnie and Mark Barnes, whose son had unexpectedly died. And they, after looking at all these things, they said, "What can we do?" They said that, you know, the nurses really stand out. They just wanted to say thank you to nurses. And so it started because they wanted to thank and meaningfully thank and express their gratitude to the nurses who had taken care of him. So with that, I started one hospital in Washington and then moved all over the world. And I think there's 15 hospitals in 15 countries now that also have the Daisy Award, because, you know, it's catching. Just as hatred is catching, so is gratitude and positiveness and so on like that catching. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch all that gratitude and meaningful recognition spread everywhere and have people really feel well. So the good news is, you know, nurses are looking for meaning in their work. They will stay if there's meaningful work there. They would leave if it's not meaningful work. And some of the new studies that are coming out now are saying that they're looking at the people who aren't leaving in the pandemic, and they're staying because they find meaning in their work, and they've been able to carve out a niche for them that they wouldn't leave because they find meaning. Well, that's what the Daisy Foundation is all about, helping people to understand what meaningful recognition does and what they've done to patients. So part of what the Daisy Foundation does is really raise up that spectacle of people who really make a difference in people's lives and help people understand their mission. We had a person at Simpler who came, and then she went to one of our Magnet celebrations, and she said, "Oh my gosh, I now know the why of why am I here at Simpler. this provides so much more meaning to me than just working for a company. This is really meaning, and this is my why, and this makes a huge difference to us. So it makes a big difference to us. It makes a big difference to nurses that are out there. We try and connect with the DAISY philosophy of thanking people and providing meaningful recognition so that we too can live the DAISY way of doing business and be able to tell people and provide meaningful recognition for them.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kerfoot. My next question sort of goes along the lines of providing that meaningful recognition, but I'd like to just share a bit of context before I tee up that question for you, which is, you know, this is, as we've sort of talked about and listeners know, an exceptionally challenging time for nurses. Mm-hmm. You're coming off of a pandemic, there's workforce shortages, workplace violence is up. There's all sorts of challenges right now as we speak. There's a high profile court case we don't have to get into that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. There's just so many different challenges. Take your pick of the challenging things that are facing nurses. I can't think of a more important time to acknowledge the important work mm-hmm. that they're all doing. And of course, we're speaking on the heels of Nurses Week. So I tee that up because I want to ask you if you'd be willing to share sort of a personal note of gratitude or story, something that you've seen a nurse do or your experience with a clinician that really inspires you to continue to do your work.
Well, it happens every day because I look at people who are really doing mission-driven work and they're out there making sure that they can make their mission come alive as they talk to customers, as they develop better technology for customers, as they teach the nurses how to use the technology better, and as they develop technology better. And then there's also personal experiences that happen. For example, you know, I had the experience of having a serious bout of breast cancer about 11 years ago. And I can't tell you how much those nurses meant to me. You know, I had a nurse navigator. I had people that would hold my hand. I had people that would answer my questions. And they made that trip so much easier for me because they had a personal relationship with me and they reached out and they touched me. And, you know, it just made the whole journey of cancer so much easier and so much better because they walked that walk with me and they were right there whenever I needed them. So there's no way that you can thank those nurses. I mean, I did. I nominated them for DAISY and all that sort of stuff way back when, but there's no way that you can really tell people how much it meant to them. You can try, but there's really no way. So the point is that, you know, nurses are with you throughout your lifespan. They're there when you're born, and they're there when you're sick as a kid, and they're there with your mother, and they're there with when you're a teenager and you break your leg, and it goes on and on and on. Even up until the time that, you know, you leave this earth, there's beautiful stories of hospice nurses there that can help people make the transition from this life to the next life. So the good news is there's a nurse there with you every way, and that really makes life much better and much different. And in addition to patient care, there's nurses working in government, working in industry. There's nurses who are legislators, and they are trying to make things better for the whole country. There are people who work for companies, and they're trying to make the software better, or they're trying to make the whatever product it is, the devices better. So they're absolutely everywhere. And for us to thank one nurse means we have to thank many, many nurses, because they are all out there. And the one thing that's common among them is purpose. That they chose to be a nurse because of purpose. And it could be that they worked in hospitals for a while, and then they found another purpose working for a company, or they found a purpose being a legislator, or they found a purpose being a writer or a teacher or whatever it happens to be. But every time you talk to somebody like that, they are mission-driven in their work. So it's a very unusual profession, because the motivation is not money, although people like to make money, but the motivation is purpose, and they will stick and they will work with you as long as they can meet their purpose. But if they can't, then they're gone. So one of our challenges with the pandemic is bringing back that purpose, because when people were so stressed and working horrible hours and not enough help and so on, then you become a technical nurse. You know, you start watching the machines and you sort of forget that there's a patient behind that. So a lot of people left because of that. We're starting to see people come back. And people who left are starting to come back, but they're very picky about where they want to work and how they want to work, which is good. So we have a huge opportunity to sort of rethink and redo what we're doing in healthcare to attract those people back and to be serious about making a better quality of life for people when they work in healthcare than what we did before. So that means eliminating bullying. That means creating cultures of love and caring for each other. And that means technology that doesn't get in the way of patient care. And you never would hear a nurse saying, I nurse the computer, I really don't nurse the patient. So we have a golden opportunity here. We must remember that nursing has gone through lots of things before. Like, you know, they had all kinds of stress when we had the flu epidemic way back in the 1900s. We've had Vietnam. We've had all kinds of things like that. Nursing always comes back stronger than what it was before. And that's something to remember, that nursing will come back stronger than what it was before. And we're starting to see that now, and we're starting to see that people will come back. And it's our job as people out there in the community in the United States to make sure that they come back to a place better than what they left. And that means that they come back with better systems, better technology, better support than what they had before. And that will, in fact, turn people around. So my personal note of gratitude is to absolutely everyone. You know, I, as a patient, sometimes I don't even get to see the person who's taking care of me because they're looking at the computer the whole time. And I think, oh, my goodness, you know, hey, I'm here. You know, pay attention to me. That's not what we want. We want people who can do the technology, but we also want to make that technology very simple and very easy so they can connect with the patient so that we don't no patient walks alone. And every patient has the opportunity to have that kind of experience with a nurse. So my gratitude goes out to all those people on the front line, to those people in the battlefield fighting COVID and fighting in the military, as well as people who are working in industries and people who are working in daycare, school nursing, goes on and on and on, on. They are out there on the front line making a difference for so many people. And to be really thankful, you really have to thank the profession, and you have to thank the people who are mission-driven to go into nursing because they want to live out that purpose.
Dr. Kerfoot, thank you so much for sharing your personal experience and giving that broad message of gratitude out there. I think everyone can probably has an inspirational story with their interaction with a nurse. Mm-hmm. Everyone will have that at some point in time in their mm-hmm. lifetime. Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, Dr. Kerfoot, just one final question. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, why clinical representation matters so much for Simpler? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we are a healthcare company. And there's a lot of companies out there that are healthcare companies, but they are made up of technicians and people like that, many of whom have never worked in healthcare in their life. So as a healthcare company, we recruit a lot of engineers, a lot of software engineers, a lot of people who have never worked in a hospital in their life. So if we don't have clinical people in there to help people understand the workflow of how clinicians work, to understand the quality indicators that you have to meet, to understand the financial indicators that you have to meet, then we can't develop the right products, or we can't develop the kind of products that really make a difference to people. So the more we can populate software companies, healthcare companies, with smart people who have great experience out there on the front line and can help work with all the different kinds of people, the different kind of professions that you have to have to develop these products, and then we can make things happen. It's sort of like in a hospital, the nurse is the coordinator of a lot of care. You know, the nurse has to talk with the physician, has to talk with the respiratory therapist, has to talk with the case manager, has to talk with the finance, and in addition to the patient. So nurses are used to working with multidisciplinary groups who are different than what they are. So in a software company, it's the same thing. Because in a software company, you have to have somebody who says, hey, we're in this for patients. So this is what we have to do to organize around the patient, around the patient needs. But then we don't take care of patients. Our people on the front line take care of patients. So to be able to get to the patient, we have to make sure the people on the front line have easy to work technology, technology that gives them the right feedback and the ability to do the kind of work that they have. So that's a great nursing position right there. That's what nurses do. So nurses in software companies and nurses in technology, they bring the standards, they bring the clinical content, they bring the clinical knowledge into that company, and they say, this is how we can do this better, and this is what the people on the front line really need. They are the voice of the customer because they've been the customer and they've also been connected with customers. So they're able to be able to connect and create better products. There's a whole role for people in nursing informatics. And nursing informatics means that you know informatics, you know information technology, but the real key is you know clinical practice. So that when you're out there, you know that, well, this is how all these different systems work together, but this is what the patient needs. The patient doesn't need that. They need this. And the patient needs this really fast, really fast. So this has got to be something that goes through the system really fast. This doesn't make that much difference, and you don't need it for very long. So nursing informatics are people that are nurses. They have a solid clinical background. They usually have an extra degree in nursing informatics. Sometimes they have a doctor of nursing practice in nursing informatics. And they work with different systems with the electronic health record. You can't install electronic health record well without nursing informatics people talking and connecting and doing that. And then also for healthcare, other kinds of healthcare, for devices, for connecting devices with the medical record, for workforce management, connecting workforce management with, you know, a communication system and so on like that. The nursing informatics people are the ones that make all those connections and hold people together so that you've got a system that works well for healthcare. And, you know, it's not designed for Nordstrom's. It's designed for healthcare. It's not designed for Macy's. It's designed for healthcare. So they are the ones that really make a huge amount of difference and can, in fact, work well. Now, also, you know, you see nurses in healthcare organizations. For example, some nurses work in sales, and how better to talk to customers about what the healthcare solution does than somebody who has used it before. Lots of times we have people who are demo people who are nurses because they've used it before and they know they've got a lot of rich examples. And so in software companies and in healthcare companies, you'll see a wide variety of people who have done a lot of things. For example, you know, chief nursing officers can pull all this stuff together and be able to talk about the voice of the chief nursing officer and what they need. Chief nursing officers also have the experience of sitting in the C-suite, so they can also bring back information from what the CFO needs and the CIO needs and a variety of people like that. So you'll see in healthcare companies, the ones that are really, really patient-oriented and really customer-oriented, you'll see a variety of people working in the roles within that. We have nurses now who are engineers. You know, they become software engineers as a second degree. So there's a lot of opportunities out there to bring more and more clinically competent people into those kind of companies and find good positions where they can be really influential, because that makes what we're producing much, much better. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Kerfoot, I appreciate the context and breaking that down for the ways that having that clinical representation in the C-suite in technology companies is so important. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate the time. Yeah, mm-hmm. I really appreciate the time you gave us today. Thank you so much.
Good. Thank you. It's been fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank our podcast sponsor, of course, Simpler. And thank you all for joining us for another episode of Becker's Healthcare Podcast. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.